through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena Tim.
I was just thinking about that sting. It'd be like if you called someone Joseph Sword and they were the only one who could wield a sword. Yeah. It's kind of silly when you start breaking it down, eh?
Did you ever play cricket or anything like that when you were at school?
I didn't. Sadly, it was an opportunity
baseball?
Missed.
There we go.
I'm not, as you can tell, the most athletic man ever
I wouldn't
built.
Make that assumption.
I played cricket at primary school, but I kind of hated it. So I used to be like, I'm only going to be the wicket keeper.
Did they make any Ashes jokes? It's close enough that you can kind of put it together.
Yeah, you'd think, but no. I mean, maybe I just sucked so much that it's not even worth it. Not even worth it. All right, what are we talking about today, Tim?
The media. Well, media. We will... Let's talk about Black Lives Matter first, because that is obviously the thing that is occupying pretty much every brain cell in my head right now. The old... So, the stuff through the lens of media, the old news in between when we last spoke... is that Twitter took the unprecedented step of censoring Donald Trump's tweet, which was basically repeating a racist refrain from a Miami police chief from the 60s, which I won't repeat. You can freaking Google it if you want to darken your day. But they haven't done that before.
No.
And it was quite an obvious violation of their terms of service. In the past, they've ducked basically applying that rule to Donald Trump and to other politicians as well. So it's kind of nice to see that there's some movement there. Zuckerberg, on the other hand, has shirked any responsibility for Facebook to police content. And he's actually...
How many times does he have to get told?
He's
sticking by his same argument just on and on.
It's an ideological position that Zuckerberg has taken, that it's not up to Facebook to determine the truth or police the truth or facts. In spite of the horrendous amount of money they make by laundering conspiracy theories and dumb shit arguments that don't stand up to any scrutiny. But a lot of his employees are actually giving him flack online about it and starting to come out now going, you know, like there are big internal conversations at Facebook and a lot of the people are not happy there.
Yeah. I saw that they did a virtual walkout of the office, the staff.
Oh, I didn't see that.
But
how does a virtual walkout work?
Well, this is the thing that's such a hard thing with, because you're in the middle of a pandemic where everyone's working from home, so it doesn't really have the same power as if a physical walkout of an office.
I guess, though, it is unprecedented to use that bloody word again, but it is an unprecedented step from that company, people who work there.
It's awesome regardless, but it would be good if they had the, you know, the physical, we're going to storm out of this place.
It removes a bit of oomph when you're just slamming the lid down on your laptop and no one's there.
I'm logging off.
Quite a terrifying trend that's happened at the moment is we're seeing a huge amount of, it is terrifying. Look, it's very terrifying that the citizenry is being targeted by A, the police, and B, even more scary, the military might be next in America. So there's been kind of an increasing in stature organizations of authorities over there. So before it was the local police, and then it's the state police, then it's the National Guard. Now Trump's threatening to get the military involved. It's all a very scary situation, but one particularly worrying aspect for the media is that US police have attacked journalists more than 120 times since May the 28th, which if you do the math is like 4 days ago. That's according to the Nieman Journalism Lab, which is a little organization that looks up these sorts of things and keeps track. And that one of the most obvious examples of that people may have seen was when Donald Trump decided to do a photo op yesterday, day before yesterday,
I think,
which was the most weird ass awkward bit of social media I've seen the White House put out. And they've put out some real weird stuff, but Donald Trump wanted to hold a Bible in front of a church next to the White House because he can't really travel at the moment because he's been hiding inside his bunker while protesters have been ripping apart barriers and facades outside the White House. And so he came out, they tear gassed all of the peaceful protesters who were outside the White House and a whole bunch of journalists as well. There was a particularly iconic bit of footage of an Australian news team that the cameraman got punched, like basically through the lens. So you see this police officer's fist basically coming right at the screen as they're getting corralled out of there, like a bunch of sheep so that they could do this stupid ass photo op for this really weird 30-second
video
social media
that
post.
They're doing. One thing I think might be kind of interesting to talk about is, like, why is it significant that they're going for journalists? Because obviously it's not necessarily any worse on a person level than them gassing citizens, tear-gassing citizens and beating up citizens and killing people. There's nothing necessarily worse than that, but why is it significant that they are hitting journalists or, you know?
Yeah, that is such a good question, and it's not something to overlook, and probably an academic would be able to answer it better than me, but the baseline thing is the media are there to act as a force of accountability when things get messy, and you need to be able to document what is happening on the ground. Mm. That is why, especially in America, actually I don't think anywhere else on earth as much as America, enshrined in law, the media have special protections. And when you identify yourself as a news organization or as media, you are not supposed to be messed with, because they fundamentally have that at the root
of
their legal
system.
It's kind
of like an amnesty, sort of.
Newsmakers, journalists, it's the only occupation that is mentioned in the US Constitution, their foundational document. Mm. So they have, previously enjoyed incredibly high levels of protection, and they should, and they need to, because they are there to represent the people and to document history and what is actually happening. Mm. And it's very scary when you see governments and leaders start to attack the media or give the green light that that is an okay thing for police to do, and that seems like that's what's happening now, because then you get you can't trust what you see anymore. Yeah. And you get a mass distortion of what's happening.
Well, I think as well, it wasn't just outside the White House. There were documented, like, other occasions in the wider America where journalists have been
absolutely
stopped from doing their work or stopped from
totally
filming
yeah.
whatever they're filming.
It's happening at the protests all over the United States. So, yeah, that's super grim.
Very.
And can I just say as well, while we're talking about Black Lives Matter, that there's so much peaceful protest going on, and there's a lot of, and this is why the media is so important to be there, there's a lot of very sus shit going down. And if you would like to know a little bit about the history of the US authorities using agent provocateurs and illegal dastardly tactics to take down protest movements, just Google, go on Wikipedia and look up COINTELPRO, which was a long-running and super illegal campaign by the FBI which sought to destroy the Black Panther movement and Martin Luther King Jr. and other prominent activists. Anyway, closer to home, I had a lighter thing I wanted to talk about, and that's old Matty Hooton.
Matthew Hooton. Now, who is Matthew Hooton?
He's, I guess, the closest thing New Zealand's got to a dirty trickster, in a way. He is a lobbyist, essentially, a PR, communications, public affairs man who has a public affairs company called Exceltium. He previously has worked for the government many, many moons ago when there was a national government in charge. And he is has been, until very recently, a prominent voice on the right on places like Radio New Zealand. He's perennially there representing the sort of conservative voice when they have debates. He's also got had a regular column in the New Zealand Herald. The issue is he is, you know, a paid sort of PR public affairs person. And in spite of the fact that he has said on multiple occasions he's got a published list of his clients.
Right.
I don't think that's true. I've looked, can't find it anywhere. Have not been able to see that.
Right.
He went quiet and nuked his entire Twitter account about, it must have been like 3 weeks ago now.
This was at the same time as the leadership
change
on Nationals front benches.
And Hooton had publicly supported Muller as well.
Right.
He even, I think, had it in a headline in a New Zealand Herald article in the lead up to the coup. And so now he's nuked his Twitter account. No one's sort of heard from him online for a bit, which is unusual. He's stepped down from his public platforms of Radio New Zealand and NZ Herald. And also the Exceltium website is gone. Everyone's been saying for about a week that he is working for the Mueller team now and is kind of looking for a role in the government.
But has he said this, or is this
Matthew Houghton has not said
he's
this.
He's not said this, but everyone else is going, is that where he's going?
Yeah.
Right, I see.
No, I haven't been able to sort of find, hide, nor hear of him at the moment. I don't know what he's up to.
Detective Tim.
Yeah, but it's an issue because, like, the dude was obvious, in my opinion, the dude was obviously quite conflicted.
Right.
Doing media pieces as this kind of, you know, separated voice of the right.
Right.
On places like RNZ. I don't think Radio New Zealand have done a particularly good job of highlighting his potential conflicts of interest when he's appeared on their shows. And it just goes to show that in a place like New Zealand, you can kind of get away with this grubby stuff and people don't really notice.
Mm.
And it's not great.
No, we need to be talking about that. So we'll be keeping an eye on that, shall we?
Keep an eye on Houghton. I strongly suspect he will pop up as a... like an official person as part of the Mueller team now.
That will be interesting to see. Hey, Tim, thank you. Those are some big old topics to get stuck into this morning.
Pleasure.
And
good
we'll
to be here.
We'll see you next week. You've given us a song, though. I'm going to hit the sting, and then we're going to play this track.
How about that media,
eh? Next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.